The most famous and well-known person who ever lived did not travel more than 200 miles from his place of birth. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about this incredible man. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. I invite you to consider with me a man, the most incredible man who ever lived. The facts of his life are enough to arrest the attention of anyone to give it careful consideration. This incredible man was born without a human father in a nameless lower-class family during a housing shortage under a set of emergency circumstances that made a cowshed his place of birth. This man grew up on the dirt floor of a tiny, overcrowded home in an obscure village in Palestine. And young people listening today, he never rode a bike, never swam in a pool, never watched TV, never talked into a telephone or listened to a radio. But when this unique person became 30 years of age, he spent just 3 years in carving out a destiny that will never be forgotten and around which millions have clustered. He had no formal education. He wrote no books. He received no worldly honors. He held no office. He owned no home and frankly stated that even though the foxes have their holes and the birds of the air have their nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He never accepted a penny for his services. He espoused the underdog to the disgust of the ruling class. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place of his birth. He dared expose wickedness in the face of terrific Roman ruthlessness and Jewish hatred, and the incendiary political situation that was destined to crush him. He was executed as a criminal after helping and healing and blessing countless thousands of people, as no organization of his day could possibly do. They gamble for the only piece of property he owned, a seamless outer garment. Neither he nor his family owned a cemetery plot or a grave, and so his closest friends borrowed a cave in which to lay his body. In the ensuing years, millions upon millions have come to worship him and may have laid down their lives for him because of who he was. This man loved as no man has ever loved. And as we look at his unique character, it's so vast that it's like the starry heavens. When you gaze, you look deeper and deeper, and it becomes more wonderful all the time. We just stand and admire. We look, we esteem, and we're startled, as was the centurion who was responsible for his crucifixion, when he exclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." We turn to John 21:10, and we see there that Jerusalem did not know its Lord. But when Jesus came riding into the city on a colt, the people turned by the multitudes and said, "Who is this?" Who is this indeed? Many today are asking the same question. Who is this incredible man, the Lord Jesus Christ? In reality, this is not just a man at all. This is an incredible God who, because of love, left heaven and came to this earth and inherited the degradation and terror that sin has wrought for 4,000 years. And then he took upon himself a body and died on the cross in that body for our sins. This man has changed the world by his ability to change the human heart. Because of this, Jesus has the ability of course, work a tremendous change in an entire planet. An unknown author wrote these interesting words, "I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that ever sailed, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together have not affected life on earth as powerfully as this one solitary life, the life of Jesus Christ." Yes, Jesus changed the world because he can change human life beyond recognition. There are many religions in the world today. There are the cults of the Orient with all their pathways to some nirvana. There are the African voodoo worshipers. There are the spiritist revelations, the psychic cults for those that are more sophisticated. Just take your pick, friends. But listen, no religion in the world today has claimed to do what this incredible man has claimed. This incomparable Christ does now exactly what he did back there in A.D. 29. He takes a man and cleanses him of his guilt and sin. He transforms his life. He puts within him that spirit that can make him into a new creation. And then he gives him a sense of self-worth and guarantees a hope of resurrection and eternal life. Now, what religion in the world claims to do this? Talleyrand was right when the man came who wanted to found a new religion and had met the problems that such a project posed. And he said, well, I'd propose that if you would begin a superior religion to that of Jesus Christ, you begin by being crucified and on the third day rise again. There was a humble British miner who found Christ as his Savior, and one of the boastful skeptics of that town met him on the street one day. He shook his finger at the humble man, and he said, you and your Christ, I'll see what you know about Christianity. Give me the date of Christ's birth. And the poor, humble man hesitated, and he said, sir, I don't know the date of Christ's birth, but I know this. I was a drunkard, and when I got my pay, I squandered most of it in a tavern before I ever reached home. And when I got there, I beat my wife and my children, and the neighbors had to take my children and feed and clothe them. But something happened to me when Jesus came into my heart. Now I love my wife and family, and we're very happy. Sir, I don't know the date of Christ's birth, but I know this, that Christ was born in my heart. And what a testimony that is, friends. There was a man and wife in Arizona who found Christ under the preaching of Billy Graham. He was very wealthy. He lived in a great estate, drove two Cadillacs, and had everything this world could provide. But when Jesus came into his heart, he began to realize that he'd gotten it all by fraud. He was forced to sit down with his wife and look into each other's hearts in the blazing light of Calvary, and there they made a sweeping decision. The Cadillacs went, their priceless possessions went, and soon their home had to go too. They were reduced to very ordinary-looking people because their consciences had become enlightened and they could do nothing else. What power the gospel has! In John 9, there was a man healed by Jesus who had been blind from birth, you remember. The Pharisees got hold of this story and they seized the man. They tried to interrogate him and ask him all sorts of questions about Jesus. He became so shaken by it that finally he said, I don't know anything about this man, but one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Well, isn't that enough, friends? Any Christian will say the same thing. Thank God for the wonderful revelation in Jesus Christ. There's a text of Scripture that's most interesting in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 41. Jesus apparently walked into the midst of a group of Pharisees and said to them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now it was a very important thing whose son a man was, especially back in those days. And they say unto him, the son of David. And he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man, the Scripture says, was able to answer him. From that time forth, furthermore, they stopped asking him questions. It was D.L. Moody who loved to call on witnesses of the New Testament as to the identity of Christ. He'd say, you Pharisees, who were his enemies and tried to trip him up on every point, who do you say the Christ is? And the Pharisees answered, this man receiveth sinners. Not so bad a condemnation, is it? And then he goes to Pilate and he says, Pilate, you had Christ on the balcony when that howling mob wanted his blood. You know Christ. What do you think of him? And Pilate answers back, I find no fault in this man. And then, of course, through the crowd, there comes this urgent man with a message from Pilate's wife. And the note says, husband, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream because of it this night. And then he takes us to Judas. Judas, you sold your Lord for $12.60. What do you think of him? And Judas answers, I have sinned in that. I have betrayed innocent blood. And then Moody takes us to the centurion who stood at the foot of the cross. Indeed, he said, this was the Son of God. Then he takes us to Peter, who betrayed him. And Peter answered, God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. He takes us to Thomas, who doubted, but who also made this startling conclusion, my Lord and my God. Yes, all the witnesses that we could bring out of the New Testament declare the same thing about Jesus. He is divine. He is the most incredible man in all of history. The most important question that must be in your mind and heart today is the question that Pilate asked when he was standing up on that balcony. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? For every human being has Christ on his hands too. The question we have to answer is, what shall I do with this incredible Christ Jesus? If Jesus were a mere man, this would be no problem. We could dispense with him as a good psychologist, because he really did deal with human hearts and minds in a most wonderful way. Philosophize him away if you want to. Do what you will with this historical person if he's not divine. If he's just a great teacher, destroy his books. But if he's more than a great teacher, then, friends, we had better watch out. We'd better be careful. If Jesus is what he said he was, then, friends, we should be very careful indeed. If Jesus did come from heaven, you and I are treading on very sacred ground. Our entire destiny is wrapped up with who Jesus really was. If Jesus is divine, then there rests in the hands of every human being an entire destiny that rises and falls on our relationship with this incredible man. It's the world's greatest opportunity if you accept it, and it is a most fearful responsibility. Now, I realize that a lot of people say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. He was a good man. He was a righteous, moral man. He was one of the greatest characters who ever existed in this world. But I just don't believe in him as the Son of God. I cannot believe that he came down from heaven. Listen, friends, if Jesus was a good man, then he would tell the truth, wouldn't he? Can you imagine a good man telling lies? Of course not. He'd be an amoral or an immoral man if he told lies. And yet Jesus declared himself to be the very Son of God. He did say that he had actually come down from heaven. Well, now listen, either he was telling the truth, or he was not a good man at all. And if he was telling the truth, then he has to be what he said he was. And we would also have to accept him as the divine Son of God. Oh, I hope this lesson really reaches our hearts today, friends. Either Christ was telling the truth about himself, and you and I then are obligated to accept him as our Lord and Savior, or else, of course, he had to be the biggest fraud who ever walked upon this earth. And no one who has ever learned anything about the life and character of Jesus could ever say that about him. Indeed, he is the divine Son of God, and you and I face that same question today that came to Pilate as he stood in front of Jesus. What will ye do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And the only thing we can do with him is to crown him or crucify him, accept him or reject him. There is no third alternative. There's no other path to follow, friends. We either go with him or we go against him. We receive him or we reject him. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.